when you come into Detroit. We're going to bite a kneecap off.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did you hear from anybody after your introductory press conference?
For all your listeners, I know 100% that biting a kneecap is a 15-yard penalty. I promise you I know that.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, NBC Sunday Night Football analyst Chris Collinsworth. Coming up, ESPN college football analyst Kirk Herbstreit, actor Michael B. Jordan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We have reached the you've got to have an Emmy nomination portion of this program to talk. We had Chris Collinsworth on in hour number two. We just formulated the Mike Del Tufo show idea. Mike, how many Emmys are you up for this year?
Only one.
Only one?
I've been nominated up for over 20.
That a boy. Well done. Well done.
I should
Rich
have
Eisen
one.
Show audio executive.
I'm a two-time nominee.
Understood.
There we go. Yeah. See?
I got it.
TJ.
I guess I can't say anything because I've never been
TJ,
nominated.
You know
that's
what?
Yeah, TJ,
you know
yeah.
what, TJ? You're going to be on The Price is Right on May the 4th.
That's
so
true.
That's,
oh,
that,
oh,
yeah, it's all
wait.
Good.
Maybe.
Ian Rappaport was on an hour. That's
oh,
right.
Maybe.
Maybe it might not get down a contestant's row. Ian Rappaport joined us in hour number one with the latest. He joined us from the NFL Network draft set. Michael B. Jordan in the new film, the action thriller. Big time tentpole type film stuff. Michael B. Jordan in Without Remorse coming out later on this week. He's going to be joining us in just about 19 minutes time. But joining us, I do believe this is the first time he's ever been on the show. We've been on the air for 7 years. I can't believe it. You know, he broadcasts games with one of my favorite people on the planet, in Chris Fowler. He is Emmy nominated for his great work in calling these games. You see him on NFL on College Game Day. And he's also an author of a new book called Out of the Pocket, Football Fatherhood and College Game Day Saturdays. He will be part of the ESPN, ABC, Disney family of networks coverage of the NFL draft. He is Kirk Herbstreit. How are you, Kirk?
I'm great, bud. How are you?
I'm better for talking to you. Happy draft week. Happy draft
yeah,
week.
Yeah, same to you. It's finally here.
I know. My gosh. And it just seems the talent evaluation portion of the NFL calendar gets longer and longer each year. And I would have to say that Justin Fields probably has had about enough of it right about now.
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys, I mean, it happens every year, you know, especially at that position. And the fact that we have so many of them, you know, it just leads to, nitpicking, and everybody's going to have an opinion. The only people that matter, obviously, are going to be in Thursday and Friday and on Saturday when they make these decisions. But, yeah, I think these players, you know, they all say the right things. Oh, you know, it's part of it, but – you know, we're all human, and when any time you're going to get criticized, it's not fun. So yeah, I think they're ready to be done with it and hear their name selected.
Well, Justin Fields in particular, Kirk. I mean,
yeah.
Because the night that the Ohio State, and I think I am saying it properly.
I didn't say Ohio State. I don't really get that. I never really have.
Well, you know, just so then we'll just go Ohio State, and I'll take all the tweets.
Yeah.
But the night Ohio State just absolutely took care of business, to say the least, against Clemson. Fields was electric. I mean, he made every possible throw. To me, that was like an actual real live pro day where he was making all the throws on a route tree. And ever since then, all we're hearing is he's not Trevor Lawrence, he's not Zach Wilson, that it was Mac Jones who was traded up for. Now maybe it's Trey Lance. And the last thing I'm hearing now is, you know, Mac Jones has shown how smart he is in the room, and Trey Lance is as well. And now I guess the whole concept you're hearing is, we're not saying Justin's not smart, but it just makes no, it's nuts. So I just want your full evaluation of Justin Fields, of all the games of his that you've called, about what he's bringing to the table here.
And I just did this QB21 with all these guys and kind of went over an hour with each of them and got to know him on a whole different level, even though I'm, you know, when you do these production meetings, you get around these programs, you get to know him on a pretty good level. But it's not that you have to put one up and knock another one down. I'm very impressed with all these guys, but I don't understand. If you just asked me from covering football as closely as I do the college game, and you said, tell me about these college quarterbacks, I would have said going into the season, it was Trevor Lawrence 1A, Justin Fields 1B. And coming out of the season, when the season was over, before we got into the draft mode, if you would have asked me, I would have said Trevor Lawrence is 1A and Justin Fields is 1B. And some people maybe would have flipped that. And then we get into this, these last 3 or 4 months, and of course, Zach Wilson, I had him last year as well, and he's an ultra-talented guy and can create and is not afraid to create, which is important. And that's kind of the new trend, right, with these college quarterbacks coming out with what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. It seems like that's like the new flavor of the month or the year for these NFL teams. But I don't get the criticism of Fields, especially he's not accountable or he's not willing to work hard, last one to show up, first one to leave. Everything I've ever been around, I've always walked away with a very favorable impression of speaking with him. I've never walked away going, look, good thing he's physically gifted because, wow, he doesn't have a chance. Like, I never even occurred to me. I've always thought the opposite. Always thought that he's the alpha in the room. Like, when he speaks, everybody gets quiet. No coaches around. He's the guy. He's the straw that mixes a drink. And hardest worker on the team. And he's a guy that transferred in, and with kind of like Russell Wilson when he left NC State, within a month he was voted captain because he had that it factor. That's Justin Fields. I mean, he leaves Georgia. He's never even been to Ohio. And within a couple months, he's the guy. And so that doesn't just happen at a school like Ohio State. And Ryan Day, you talk to the NFL folks, Ryan Day is respected as a play caller and a guy that works with quarterback as anybody that works in the college game. And he would tell you, he goes on and on and on. I don't know if you've spoken with him. He goes on and on bragging about him. If you remember when Dwayne Haskins came out, he was complimentary, but he was kind of like, I wish he'd come back for another year.
Right.
He was not going on and on and on. With Fields, he is. And so I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm still shocked that the Jets are not going to select him. I still think it's maybe they're just kind of kidding, and the number two pick will be Justin Fields. I don't know how you pass on him personally. With 6'3", 224 pounds, and runs a 4.4, not to mention he can make every throw. Like all these college quarterbacks, it's going to be, it'll take some time as far as him picking up NFL coverage and doing what he needs to do. Ideally, he would go somewhere and kind of have a chance to sit there and watch and learn from a veteran, and then kind of like Patrick Mahomes did year two, take off and go and become, I think, an elite player. So I don't know. I'm mystified by the whole thing.
Emmy Award winner, Emmy Award nominee for 2021, and author Kirk Herbstreit here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, look, this conversation we just had has taken up a ton of oxygen, and what the Niners are going to do and what Atlanta might do and what the Bengals should do, all of that. And we just ignore the fact that one of the most generationally talented players at the quarterback position is going to be first overall, and the guy who's going to draft him is Urban Meyer, for crying out loud. And you got two guys, and much was made about Trevor Lawrence's quotes to Sports Illustrated, and the things that I made of it was just, what if Justin Fields had said it? It would have been just a whole big to-do. And the fact that, Trevor Lawrence says that, or others say he doesn't really need football and stuff like that, is unfair to him to criticize it. To me, it was just, I was being critical of the fact that what if others, if Josh Rosen had said it, for instance, a couple of years ago. But to me, my concern is, if there is one at all, is you got quarterback who feels that way because nobody's ever pointed to the scoreboard and said you should have a chip on your shoulder because normally Trevor's winning. And Urban Meyer, who I don't know the last time, if you'd have to probably go back to Florida to say that he's lost double-digit games just in terms of collectively. How do you think they're going to take losing, which is going to come in the NFL? How will they handle that collectively, do you think?
Yeah, I think keeping an eye on Urban, I'm sure every crew that goes in on a weekly basis and does a Jags game will have a camera assigned to him just to watch some of his reactions on the sideline,
right.
Because he's pretty animated when things are not going well. I think Urban is, when he took the job and he looked at, the situation in Jacksonville, he understood. Now, he's very confident that eventually he's going to build a winner. How soon, we're all left to guess when that might be, but I think he understands, you know, what he's up against and what he needs to be able to do. And there's going to be some growing pains along the way. I would say this about Trevor Lawrence. You know, I think the quote you're referring to is basically where he came out and said, you know, football matters to me, but it's not, it doesn't define me, kind
Correct.
Of thing.
Yep.
I really feel, keep in mind, this kid lost, he started since he was a freshman in high school. He lost two games in high school. He lost two games in college as a three-year starter. He got to the national championship and won as a freshman, got there his second year, lost it to Bama, and then loses to Ohio State in the semifinal. That doesn't happen ever. You know, three years and that kind of production, had two losses. This kid has a fire inside him that he doesn't necessarily show on the exterior. He is really legitimately walks the walk with his faith. And I think what he meant by what he was saying was the results of this game, whether we win a Super Bowl or we lose a lot of games, I'm still going to be who I am. I think that's what he was trying to say. I don't think he was trying to say, I think that's why he came back out I think he tweeted out, hey, you guys, some of you guys are misunderstanding what I was trying to say. I think he's got a burning desire to win. I mean, how could you have those results? Four losses in seven seasons of starting.
It's crazy.
And not be competitive. Like, I don't know. How many kids do you know that you've ever covered that started quarterback as a freshman in high school? I'm more impressed that he started, having four sons, I'm more impressed that he started as a freshman in high school. That's a 14, 15-year-old playing against 18-year-olds.
It's crazy,
that's
Kirk.
That's a hard thing to do. That's, to me, ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. So, I know. And I've talked about it with Albert Breer, and like the only person you could kind of compare him to, maybe being first overall in the draft, is Andrew Luck, and then Peyton Manning before, in terms of what you're bringing into it. And again, I have no problem with what he had to say, because you know better than most, having covered a lot of these guys in college. And then 4 years later, these big men on campus have to figure out what to do next in their lives. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to Trevor, just on average, right? So I love the fact that guys come into the draft saying that there's more to life than just football. I have no problem with that. I'm just wondering, hey, you said two losses in high school, two losses in college. He may have more than that by Halloween, to say the least. You know, and how is he going to handle, like, he may get a chip pretty damn fast, him and Urban together, you know? Like, that's my
and
question.
The one thing he used to tell me and I really liked about him, because when you look at him, you don't think this. He's 6'6", 220 pounds, and, you know, he's a quarterback. But you go back to the Ohio State Clemson game, not this year, but last year, when he got hit by Sean Wade on that blitz, and it looked like he may have broken his collarbone and was going to be out of the game, and he goes out for a couple plays, comes back in, and leads him back to a victory, and ran the ball that night better than he threw it. I mean, he was running. And I talked to him about that with no cameras around, and just talked to him, and he said, you know, I've always tried to look at myself, and this goes back probably to my high school coach, I want in my mind be the toughest guy on the field. Like, I want to be... I don't want to be the quarterback that can't be touched. Don't hit me. You know, I've got the red jersey on. And so his mentality, it tells you about a toughness that he brings to the position. Because when I evaluate quarterbacks, you know, it's great to look at Luck and Peyton and Trevor and their physicality and their size and their arm strength. But I love the intangibles. I think any great quarterback who's going to – and you look at the guys today in the NFL – the guys that win, and Tom Brady at the top of the list, the mental toughness that they bring, the intangibles that they bring to the table, the way they make the room feel, we're going to win today. I don't care about the weather. I don't care if we're playing home or away. I don't care what the odds are. We got our guy. We're going to win today. He's going to bring that element into that locker room. So it may, they're made like Peyton had in Indy. There may be some growing pains, but don't ever underestimate the intangibles of what he'll bring to the position. I think that part of it may be his greatest quality.
Kirk Herbstreit, ESPN college football analyst, and he'll be part of it. You're with Reese, right, on ABC?
Yeah, Reese and McShay? Dez and Todd McShay on ABC on Thursday and Friday night.
You don't need to know this more than you probably already do, but Dez is one of my favorite people on planet Earth.
No, of course he is. Are you kidding me?
Just in terms of joy that he's brought to me, and just the person that he is on top of it.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Did Bo ever try to recruit you? Did Bo ever knock on your door?
Bo did. Bo did. Bo and my dad coached together, and we're good friends. And so after my junior year, I went up to Ann Arbor, and we were going to go up and on a fishing trip, and Bo asked my dad if we'd stop by.
Sure.
And he wanted to talk to us, and I did, and he pulled me into his office by himself. He asked my dad to walk out, and he looked me right in the eye with his glasses on, and I was a Bo fan. I was like, he was like,
sure.
I bow down to Bo.
Yeah.
And when you grew up with my family, and even though he's Michigan,
it's all good.
And he's like, can I recruit you? Are you going to Ohio State? Is it done? Or can I recruit you? And I was like, no, it'd be an honor for you to recruit me. And of course, in the back of my mind, I knew I was going to go to Ohio State, but I wanted to be recruited. I wanted to be recruited by Bo.
Yeah.
So there was no way I was going to say, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm going to Ohio State. But no, I was all about Jerry Hanlon, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
I was, yeah.
Well,
if you're from Ohio in that era in the mid 80s, you know, Michigan was all over Ohio.
Well, look at some of the greatest players in the history of Michigan football. They're from Ohio. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Charles,
absolutely.
Dez, I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, please.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were rolling, they had northeastern Ohio. Occasionally they'd get into southwest Ohio, but that northeastern Ohio was like a pipeline, you know, going, for, of course, with Bo and his ties into Ohio. But, yeah, that's when they were at a very different level. I hope they get back to that level. I miss that, to be honest.
Well, that sounds like a very passive aggressive thing to say to me, Kirk. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, man. I do. I'm not your typical Ohio State.
No, I know that. I know that.
I pull for Michigan every game except one. That's what
I'm. No, I get it. No, I totally understand that. You know,
it's good for the Big Ten, right?
Oh, when God, no, it's just you're piling it on now. You're piling it on right now.
I'm serious.
By the way, I covered Bo in his last season for the Michigan Daily, I was scared of him. There's no other way to put it. I was so intimidated by him.
Sure.
And he had a weekly press conference at a local, you know, inn, and we would sit in at this big dining room table, and he would sit at the head of it, right? And he would hold court. And I barely asked a question because I was so damn nervous. And I got, I got there early one time. I got there early one time, and I'm sitting there, and I'm having lunch. It's a hamburger. And who comes walking in but Bo? And he sits down at the head of the table, and I don't say a word. He doesn't say a word. And then he looks at me, and I look at him, and he goes, "How is that? My doctor won't let me eat any of those anymore." And I'm like, "Coach, I'm not going to lie to you. It's pretty damn good." And he goes, "Damn it." And other people then walked in the room, so I didn't have to have more of a conversation with him. But that's basically my interaction with Bo, my first ever.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't you know, it's Bobby Knight had that same kind of vibe about him. You know,
no doubt.
Like Bobby, I mean, it's like Bobby and I used to walk in there when I was doing local radio in Columbus. I used to walk into a post-game presser. There was no chance I was going to ask a question. I just wanted to watch. I just wanted to watch people ask him questions and have him look at them like, "Did you seriously just ask me a question?"
He wanted my hamburger terrible. So bad. It was so funny because, you know, he had all those heart problems. His doctor wouldn't let him have it. Before I let you go, let's talk about your book. What's this about? Why'd you do it? What do you got for me on that, Kirk?
Gene Wojciechowski, who I work with at ESPN, you know.
Phenomenal.
He's a great guy, and he's brought it up to me in the past, and when COVID hit last March, he came up to me or called me in April and asked me if I had any interest. I've always kind of thought I'd do that down the road. And then when the world went upside down, I thought this may be a good time to look back and think about some of the things I've been through, just my own personal journey of some stuff that I went through that maybe can help other kids. You know, I was painfully shy. I'm talking like would never give up and give a speech in a class or just hard for me to make friends, just a really, really quiet, introverted kid. And my parents divorced when I was 8 or 9 years old. And so between moving constantly and being, you know, shy, I just thought when I tell people that story, they're like, "What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?" And I was just, it's an example of how life changes, you know, and how you change and grow. And so we just talked about, it's a lot of football, but there's a lot of stuff on my personal journey of stuff I've been through, and it's not just X's and football at all. So I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to.
And it's where all books are sold. You and Gene Wojciechowski, football, fatherhood, and college game day Saturdays. Kirk, you and I know a lot of the same people. Fowler is one of my favorite on the planet. His better half, yeah. Jennifer. Reese, who you're going to be broadcasting with, I did Sports Centers with in 1996.
Oh yeah.
So
absolutely.
You know, you're a fortunate man to work with those people, and I love you and Fowler.
I agree.
You and Fowler are great. Listen. Just terrific.
Thank you.
Big time
Thank
stuff.
You. I'm lucky to be with him, and big fan of yours, always have been, and good to see you from time to time, and appreciate you having me on, and congratulations on your well-deserved Emmy nomination as well.
Right back at you, Kirk. I'll see you in Ohio. I'll see you.
Okay.
I might be less popular than you there, but I'm going to use you as a human shield for just a few minutes, if you don't
you
mind.
It.
Okay,
you got it.
You got it. Take care. It's Kirk Herbstreit, everybody. Bo recruited him. Can I recruit you? Oh, sure. He already told John Cooper, yes. A lot of great Ohio players at Michigan. A lot of great ones. Let's take a break. When we come back, Michael B. Jordan will join us. Has he ever met the Michael J. Jordan? We'll ask him that when we come back. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. I tried to explain to my 8-year-old the other day about what an encyclopedia was.
Why? You know what? I sold encyclopedias for 1 week in Kansas City.
Out of here.
Swear to you.
You went door to door?
Door to door.
David Koechner was a door to door encyclopedia salesman in Kansas City.
Yes. I came after my sophomore year in college, I decided I'm not going back to Tipton, Missouri, where I'm from, 2,000 people. I'm going to go to Kansas City where I get some buddies there if I'd met from college. My dad said, okay, well, you have to have X number of dollars saved before you go back to school.
Yes.
Because I'm not just, you know, paying for everything. So I had a series of jobs, one selling cable, one selling encyclopedias, one selling Circus Delight ice cream, none of which panned out. I just had job after job.
How many encyclopedias did you sell?
None.
Zero.
There was a 10-page script. You had to go into people's houses, and it was a takeaway script.
Yes.
Do you believe education is important?
Yes, of course I do.
Great, so do I. It was just page after page of that. It's a takeaway. Well, I'm not sure you're really committed to your children if you don't believe blah, 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 blah. We used to get dropped off in the neighborhoods at like 10:45 at night.
Yeah.
And then ring the bell?
Ring the bells.
We had cops called on us. I'm like, I don't think this job is the right one.
Well, David, if not to top you, as you topped me at the very
doesn't
beginning
matter,
of this
best
conversation.
Friends. There's no topping. There's
forever.
Only,
forever.
There's only communion.
Okay,
yes?
So here, so I...
This is my favorite story, by the way.
One of my first jobs I ever had was cold calling Brooklyn and Staten Island residents for the New York Post at Saturday morning, 8 a.m. And the language I heard,
it's
not even safe for certain types of work.
Yeah.
I could not, and I would sell eventually the newspaper to people who hardly spoke English, and it was terrible.
They had to take it.
I don't even think they knew what the hell the New York Post was.
Right.
But, I mean, at 8 in the morning on a Saturday, just call people up, you know, do you subscribe to the New York Post? No, I do not. Like, what would you like? I mean, it was terrible, man.
Oh, my gosh. And then halfway after a minute, they're like, who is this?
I know.
What? What? Do you remember the pitch at all?
Oh, it was just, yeah. I mean, you know, how would you like to get the most New York or something stupid like that? Or
but at 8 a.m., a lot of people don't pick up.
No.
Or if they do, they're just really...
They're not interested in subscribing to a newspaper.
Confused and then irate.
So did you get, you didn't even get close to selling your
encyclopedia? No, not even close. I mean,
opening line of, do you care about education?
Is education, I'll tell you this. I only memorized the first page.
Uh-huh.
So had I gotten to a sale, I would not have known what to do.
Do you care about education? Good, so do I.
I love Kuechner.
Oh, fantastic. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. We're here on our family of networks, including our new free audio streaming partner, Audacy, every single day. Fun show with Ian Rappaport, Chris Collinsworth, Kirk Herbstreit, and soon to join us is the serial entrepreneur, Mark Lurie, who just bought the Timberwolves to help us kick off Run Rich Run Week right here on the show. We've had the pleasure of having Michael B. Jordan here in studio in advance of his new film, Without Remorse, that is debuting later on this week on Amazon. I had a chance to chat with the superstar, Michael B. Jordan. One of Tom Clancy's most famous characters, John Clark. We all know about him, but what about his origin story? It's about to burst through your screen on Amazon Prime, coming up later on this week. He is the star of Tom Clancy's Without Remorse. Michael B. Jordan back here on The Rich Eisen Show. How have you been, Michael?
I'm doing great, man. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
I am better for talking to you. A lot has happened. A lot has happened in the 3-4 years since you were in my show studio the last time. Congratulations on all of that.
Man, thank you. Thank you, man. It's been an incredible ride and journey. And I'm really, really excited about, you know, just where we are right now and being able to talk to you about this project also.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, in terms of a journey, what we've all been on the last year,
man,
let's get our popcorn ready. You know what I mean? Like, let's just go see a big time film where somebody is kicking ass and taking names without remorse. And we could just sit back and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? This is awesome.
No, it happened at the perfect, the perfect time. This movie, we actually finished shooting the movie right before the pandemic hit. And we spent the entire last year trying to figure out, how we were going to get this movie out for everybody to see. So, thankfully, we found a home in Amazon and they've been great partners in, making sure this movie gets out to everybody that could possibly watch it. John Kelly, John Clark, this is like the movie that I grew up watching that I always wanted to be in, and from playing the Rainbow Six Ghost Recon video games as a kid,
right,
to actually playing, John Clark in the movie, it kind of came full circle. So it's nothing short of an action-packed revenge thriller, but grounded with a lot of heart and stakes and character. So it's the perfect kind of movie for me.
Where do you stand on you getting in and doing everything that we see on the screen?
I'm all for it. Watching movies like, Blade, Wesley Snipes, knowing he did all his stunts, or Jackie Chan and Tom Cruise and Matt Damon, and all these, these action stars that I grew up, idolizing and being like, if I ever get the opportunity, I'm training for it. I'm doing everything I could possibly do. And in this one, I did about, 90-95% of my stunts.
Which one are you most proud of? Let's flex a little bit here, like you do in the film. But I mean,
I,
Like, which one you got?
I would say I'm most proud of the underwater sequences. You know, I think, spoiler alert, no spoiler alert. I mean, yeah, but without going too crazy into it, you know, there, you know, he's a Navy SEAL, you know, and he's very comfortable in water, you know, and we really put him in some high intensity, high stakes situations where he has to be underwater, you know, doing things for really, really long time. And just shooting through those sequences myself, and also, you know, jumping in and out of burning cars, you know, a lot of fighting, a lot of hand-to-hand combat, a lot of weapons training. So we had an incredible stunt team that worked with us on each stunt and trained me to a T to be able to be comfortable in these situations. So it was a lot of fun.
Michael B. Jordan here on the Rich Eisen Show again. It is coming out on Friday. The It being Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Have you, Michael B. Jordan, met Michael J. Jordan yet? Has that happened? Has there been a Michael Jordan summit ever yet for you?
I think at the time I met him, it was at an All-Star, an event.
Okay.
And I literally just, like, it was in passing. You know, somebody was like, "Hey, you know, this, you know." Like, he needs an introduction. "Hey, what's up? This is Mike." And I shook his hand, and it was like literally less than 10 seconds. And then it was in passing. So it wasn't, I don't even think he knew who I was at the time. I mean, at the time or whatever. So I guess to answer that question, nope.
Well, how has that not happened yet? I don't see how that's not yet.
I don't know, man. We got to figure that out. I think the powers that be somehow we got to collab on something. I don't know. It's, the marketing's too rich at this point, you know, no pun intended.
It's too good. Hey, however I can get involved in that, I would be all for such a thing. But, you know, I know, like, you take in an NBA game every now and then, Michael, you know, I mean, so maybe just like, you know, a Hornets game, LaMelo's coming into town, you know, pandemic's over, like maybe we could get something going here, because I imagine that's something you'd be into, right?
I would definitely be into that. You know, maybe, you know, Hornets playing the Lakers at some point, you know, maybe, you know, get a chance, you know, Jordan comes in town, or maybe I go to North Carolina, who knows. I'm down for that. I like where your head's at. I like.
So are the Warriors your team though, or I'm trying to remember when we had a conversation back in the day.
You're thinking about Ryan, like my director, Ryan Coogler's from, he's from the Bay. He's a diehard Warriors fan. I mean, I grew up on the East Coast, so, you know, I grew up a Knicks fan. It's been tough. it's been real tough. But as you know, as we get to know these guys, you know, like, you know, LeBron, Kyrie, you know, I mean, certain players and stuff, you know, you become fans of, and you want to see them win. So, you know, right now I'm definitely rooting for Kyrie right now. And Bron also, man, it's tough, man. It's really tough, man. I'm just happy basketball's back, you know, and one thing we got to figure out these referees, man.
Now, look, I give you the floor. I know you're in the middle of a junket. I imagine there aren't many opportunities that you're going to have today in promoting Without Remorse. If you care to, Without Remorse, have the floor on NBA refereeing. You're not going to get fined, Michael. You know?
No, I'm actually not. I just feel like they should really, you know, be able to do post-game interviews and press. It's something so subtle and so simple. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, accountability is a thing, but just, you know, us as, you know, as fans, you know, journalists, to be able to ask questions to them, because they play a hand in the game just as much as the players and the coaches. So if the players and coaches are subjected to, you know, questions, right, you know, why can't they? And I think that subtle adjustment would normalize a lot. You know, I think it would settle some things, you know, across the board. I personally feel that.
No,
way.
But what if an official though, a referee, you know, handled that post game press conference like Kyrie, like got there and just went like this, you know, in front of the screen for a post game press conference, and then just
what would happen? What questions would come their way? What type of accountability? What kind of example is that set? So it's like, it's just, you know. And then I heard somebody said something to me about, well, are they getting paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars, like, you know, like the players are as well? But it's not about salary. It's about the part you play in the system, you know. And if, you know, we're all, you know, organized to play this game, you know, of basketball, it can't just be the players and coaches that are scrutinized by the choices that they make, because we're all human, you know, and the game has evolved. And, you know, it's not the same NBA that it was in the past, you know, right. The intensity, the play, like what's, you know, what's a tech, what's not, what's taunting, what's not, you know, so to be able to, like, you know, have everybody's opinion front and center for everybody to see, I think would be, I think that would be interesting. I would like to see that.
So when you're wrapping up and your TV work, Friday Night Lights, film work, Creed, I mean, you've been in some iconic sports, pop culture. If you could name your favorite sports movie, what would that be, Michael B. Jordan?
Favorite sports movie? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, wow, Sandlot just popped into my head. That's tough.
That's a good one.
I'm going to be split between Any Given Sunday and He Got Game. He Got Game, Any Given Sunday. I think I'm going to split between those two. And then biasedly, Creed.
You can include yourself in there. You could definitely include yourself. I mean, He Got Game was really eye opening, and not just because Ray Allen crushed it, but there was a lot of real stuff in there that not a lot of films have ever covered.
Exactly.
So that's a good one right there.
Yeah. Michael. No, I think that was definitely one for me. You know, Any Given Sunday was just like super entertaining. And, you know, Friday Night Lights, the movie was really good. You know, you got,
Remember the Titans too.
Exactly, man. Some tremendous performances. And I guess it's like capturing the world of those teams and those sports in a different way that we're used to seeing them is what really like stands out in those projects.
Well, Michael, congratulations on this project. Like I said, I know I've got a limited amount of time with you. I'd love to have you back in my studio and do this again. You've got so many amazing projects that you have done, that you are doing, that so many people love, including this one, Without Remorse. My kids are jealous. I'm getting to talk to you because we watch Black Panther literally every month during the pandemic. Wow, so man. Congrats on everything that's gone on in your life.
Man, thank you, Rich, so much, man. Tell your family and everybody I said hello, and I look forward to you know, sitting down and talking with you on the next one. You know, so as a director, I got you.
Okay, very good. I will take that. Michael B. Jordan right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everyone check out Without Remorse, Tom Clancy's Without Remorse, starring this man, Michael B. Jordan, coming up this Friday on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, he's directing the next Creed.
Yep.
That is happening. How about that? What do you think the NBA would ever let their – all sports would –
That would be it. Would be amazing.
Must see Mike, TV if
Mike,
all
hit the drop.
If all officials drop. Would, if all
0.0.
If all officials,
that would be
would,
amazing.
Would have
Rich.
A press conference. Hey, Scott Foster, why'd you do that?
Right, that second quarter.
They
foul.
Have a 2-minute report, right?
Well, Scott Foster is another issue, Rich.
The Scott Foster show would be after the Mike Del Tufo show. That's what it would be.
Sponsored by.
Yeah, I got two words when it comes to Scott Foster.
Get out of here. Let's get out of town right now because we're going to talk Run Rich Run and how you can help when we come back and your phone calls. And we'll let you know how we've got a big, huge Tuesday draft show on the other side.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
We'd like to play a game with Chris Brockman and Mike Del Tufo over there.
Okay.
Where I will read out the facts. They will guess whether it's true meta or false meta.
and then you will confirm.
Okay, let's do it.
First fact. True. During my rookie season with the Chicago Bulls, I applied for a job at Circuit City. True meta or fake meta?
I've heard this story. I believe that's true.
Mike?
I'm going with him. True.
A true story?
That's a true story. Woo! That's a true story.
Did you get the job at Circuit City?
I did get the job. I got the job. I got my discount. I was trying to stay out of trouble.
Okay.
And I needed a job.
Next fact. I wore number 37 for the Lakers because Michael Jackson's album Thriller was number one on the Billboard charts for 37 consecutive nights. True meta?
No way.
Is it fake meta?
That is 100% true.
That's true. That's true.
I knew it was 37 album, weeks, man. But I wouldn't guess.
All right, next one. Right before his comeback with the Wizards, I broke two of Michael Jordan's ribs in a pickup game and delayed his comeback by 3 months. I was so upset about it, I didn't leave my house for days. True meta or fake meta?
I think that's true.
I'm saying true.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I love Michael Jordan. Probably my favorite player.
You broke his ribs?
It was on accident. It was a summertime pickup game, and it was an intense game.
In 2010, an art show honoring me was held in Toronto, Canada, entitled Lovable Badass.
False.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, we have a tie!
Oh, yeah. I was surprised, man. I couldn't believe it. It was a really good show.
Lovable Badass.
They just said, hey, we want to honor you. I'm like, for what? You know? And they just had all this art of me.
All right, last one. In 2010, I was cited for driving a race car with an expired registration down a city street. True meta or fake meta?
Based on his reaction, I'm going to say true.
I got to go true, too.
That's true.
That's true. It was an Indy 500 car. It was fun.
What city?
You know, Westwood.
Westwood. In UCLA?
Yeah, they pulled me over and
I mean,
but it was street legal.
That is fantastic.
You
know?
So it was street legal. It was just legal. That you had an expired registration was the issue.
What happened was the officer was like, what is this? That's why they pulled me over. They couldn't say I had my license.
It was an Indy car?
It was an Indy car, yeah. But how did you
fit in that thing?
I didn't really fit. I was real like this and hitting the gas with my one little pinky toes. It was tough.
Fun stuff with our friend back in the day, Meta World Peace, a.k.a. Ron Artest, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio and television simulcast, Peacock, Sirius XM, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio station, and now starting today, Odyssey. Check us all out every single day. Give us a listen. It's NFL Draft Week. It's a very special week, and this time it's even more special for me. It's one of the most, I've just used the word special, but it is unique and remarkable to be able to host an NFL draft. It's like a unicorn assignment in my business.
Is this your first one, Rich?
No, 17
of them. What?
Jeez. Including this year, thank you for asking, man. Even though we all know the answer.
Take that for data.
Thank you, Coach Fizdale. Greatly appreciate that. But it's even more special this week because it's Run Rich Run Week. Yeah. Because of the pandemic, we didn't run it at the combine. There was no combine. And there are a very small select group of people who kept pushing. Are you going to run? We should run. How can we run? And one of them is a guy who took this this under his own wing, his remarkably philanthropic wing, by finding my run on YouTube back in the day and saying, what's this all about? Let me try and join. And we had a chat. We're both from Staten Island. And I felt like I've known him for quite some time. He ran against Jerry Rice last year, which took moving heaven and earth to get that to happen at the combine. We raised a ton of money thanks to his largesse and that of his friends who bet against him or with him, all in the name of St. Jude. That's my setup for saying this guy said, let's do it again this year. I'll get seven of my friends. You get seven more with Jerry Rice to run from the NFL Legends community. I said, done. That's a very yada, yada, yada way of saying we were able to pull it off. And joining me here is serial entrepreneur and somebody who has made quite the bid to purchase, pending approval, the Minnesota Timberwolves. He is Mark Lowry. How are you, Mark?
Hey, Rich. Great to be here.
How are your hamstrings holding up? How are you doing from that run?
That was tough. It's okay. It's still recovered.
You were very generous along with your friends that you were able to get together. We just showed a shot of you with Ray Lewis on the screen. What was that like to run with Ray? You got a good story? Was he giving you any sort of you were teamed with Ray from the Legends community?
Say, I'm glad he was on my team. Put it that way.
Right, you got a chance to
I was
feel
racing against him.
Yeah, you got a chance to feel like what it's like to be an NFL player against him. What was that like though, Mark? Did he give you any words of wisdom, any hype when you got there?
No, he was very competitive and I loved it. It was great. I mean, we took it seriously and it was a lot of fun. No, it's and everyone was excited to come back next year. So that's the key, because I think, you know, this only gets bigger in future years, and we raised a lot of money for St. Jude, and just, yeah, it was a great, great day, great event.
Dude, you always tell me that before the run. Like, what are we going to do next year? And what do I say to you every time you say something to me like that? What do I say?
Yeah. Let's get through this year.
Yes. It's like running a 40, Mark. You got to put one foot in front of the other until you cross that finish line, you know? And
I like to just keep talking about it and then it happens.
Well, I Well, you would definitely speak a lot into existence, and it's true, right? That you were looking for a charity to support, and one of the many charities that you do support, and you found me on YouTube. That's correct, right? That's a fact.
That's correct. That's the way it worked. Yeah, basically looking for children's charities and researching, and St. Jude was definitely the leader in my mind. And your video came up, and I saw you running the 40. I'm like, that would be really fun. And that's how it started. Yeah.
Do you still think it's fun, Mark?
It's more fun every year, Rich. It'll be more fun next year, and 5 years from now, Rich, this is going to be so bad.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
10 years from now, Rich.
By the way, we're showing a shot of me leading everybody out of the tunnel. There you are, lockstep with Rod Woodson. I mean, this is so cool. That was a hell of a day, man.
That was so fun, and yeah, that was great.
You know, and so you and your cohorts raising over $1.1 million for the chance to run with everybody. I just want to give you the floor and just ask you, you know, what do you think of when obviously you've accomplished quite a bit on a moment like that, because it was nuts to everybody in the room, Mark, when that happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was sort of, you know, exceeded my expectations. You know, I kind of set a number in my head that I thought we'd get to, but it happened all so fast, and a few of the entrepreneurs kind of stepped up early with big donations, and others followed, and it was just great to see. It was amazing. I mean, and just gave me lots of ideas about next year. I know, sorry, I live in the future.
That's
Rich,
no, look, man, this is why you are who you are, Mark Lurie. This is why you are who you are. And so the fact that, you know, I'm preparing for an NFL draft while trying to put this all together with the help of Louise Carter and Dallas Hitchcock and Tracy Perlman of the NFL and NFL Network combined. And you were buying the Timberwolves, Mark. How did that come together while this all was going down?
Well, yeah, as you know, I mean, it's me and Alex Rodriguez, and we made a bid for the Mets. We finished second. We didn't get it. But, you know, we think it was a blessing in disguise, because, you know, we're super excited about the NBA, and this opportunity came up, and it all happened really fast. We really connected with Glenn. Glenn's done an amazing job of, you know, building the team over the last 27 years, and is looking for owners to sort of carry on his legacy and sort of infuse, you know, a new way of thinking about things. And, you know, between Alex and I's skill sets and knowledge, we thought it was a good match all around. And Glenn seems like a great partner. We're excited to, you know, put everything we know into the building the organization.
Well, I mean, and you're from my hometown of Staten Island as well. You've already gone to Minnesota, Minneapolis, gotten to know the community already?
Yeah. Alex and I flew out there already. We spent the entire day there just learning the community, the team, players, met with all the players. I had a chance to talk to Josh Okogie on the phone. Loved to see what he's doing to really help the city there along the lines of racial equity. And I think there's a lot we can do. There's a great platform to do good, and we're excited about that. And and look forward to going back to Minnesota and spending real time there and getting to know the community and getting to know the fans and seeing what we can do.
Did you introduce Anthony Edwards to Alex Rodriguez, Mark?
Yeah.
Did you introduce the two of them? So they're all aware.
That was so funny. that was.
Yeah.
Hey, I know Mark Laurie, but I don't know Alex Rodriguez.
Now that's a story to tell, Mark. That is a story to tell. I know I was going to come in to ask one thing of you now that you're going to be, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, everything goes smoothly and you're in the NBA and everything's going to work, about maybe shooting T-shirts into the stands once you do that. But maybe getting Anthony Edwards or Carl Anthony Towns to run a 40 next year. I don't know, again, if that's part and parcel of the contract, but as long as that would be great. You know what
shooting
I mean?
Shooting T-shirts, sure. I mean, how about dropping them with drones? How about that?
See,
we're gonna really infuse some new ways to think about using tech in the stadium, and it's got some really cool ideas, which may include drones and dropping T-shirts.
Okay, we could do that. And then, like I said, what are you thinking about for next year? Because again, we're hitting the finish line. We're trying to raise as much money at NFL.com/runrichrun to try and match what you and your fellow donors were able to do. What do you got for next year? What are you thinking about right now? More runners, more people.
I think we get more athletes, more entrepreneurs, okay. And make it a bigger event. Yeah, I mean, we've got the right. Obviously, we've got the best legends in the game, but you know, let's get more and do it bigger and try and. I mean, we're going to hopefully double last year.
Yeah,
right. Well, and if we can do that, we'll go double next year.
I love it. I love the way you're thinking, Mark. And again, I always appreciate you trying to push me and push this event to go in a certain direction. And I can't wait to show the results of everybody's 40-yard dash, including yours, at the during the draft on Saturday at 5 Eastern time on NFL Network. And I appreciate all that you've done, Mark. You have no idea how many lives that you have saved and touched.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rich. But really, I mean, you started this and you've been pushing it for a long time, and it's finally, you know, starting to take off, which, you know, is a testament to you and you know, the commitment that you've had to St. Jude over this period of time. So I'm just trying to help, you know, but you this is your thing.
Well, I appreciate you using the phrase take off in regards to the fundraising, because that doesn't really apply to my 40, but we're going to keep working on that too, Mark. We'll keep working on that too. Thanks for the time and thanks for your generosity, as always. You take care. We'll chat soon.
All right, take care.
You got it. It's Mark Laurie, everybody, at Mark Laurie on Twitter. Anthony, this is Alex. Alex, this is Anthony.
Hopefully cameras were rolling on that.
NFL.com/runrichrun. We're currently nearing, as well as there are two corporate partners, Lowe's, NFL Network Game Day Morning presenters, and Zebra Technologies have chimed in. And I cannot thank them enough. We are closing in right now with your donations and the other donations that have that have closed in as well, from some of Mark's friends and from the NFL community. The Ravens, once again, the Bishottis, Steve and Renee have donated generously once again. Eddie DiBartolo, in honor of Jerry Rice, he and the Bishotti family have both donated $100,000. We're closing in on 1.5. We haven't even gotten to Ohio. NFL.com/runrichrun. Every dollar goes to save a child's life. And also, as part of that, make sure that the families never see a bill for the health care or the journey to St. Jude in Memphis, or for lodging or for room and board. All of that pressure is removed, so everybody can focus on the kid getting better. And there's also the research part of St. Jude. That's why it's called St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. We've heard also from other members of the NFL community. I could not be more pleased about it. So please get involved. I want to thank Mark Laurie, Michael B. Jordan, Kirk Herbstreet, Chris Collinsworth, Ian Rappaport. On tomorrow's show, Trey Lance is scheduled to join us. We'll chat with him. Steve Smith of NFL Network's draft coverage. We haven't spoken to him. There's a whole bunch of receivers that could go top 10. Three of them, as a matter of fact. So Steve's going to talk about that, as we'll start talking about the weaponry, not just the quarterbacks and the arms. Also on tomorrow's show, Daniel Jeremiah will join us from NFL Network's draft coverage. I might be missing another or two, but that's what we got going on. What's the poll question results right now, Christopher?
Oh, man. Who should the 49ers take third overall at quarterback? Justin Fields, 60%.
And who else? Keep going.
Trey Lance, 23%. Mac Jones, 17%.
Okay. Also tomorrow, John Harbaugh of the Baltimore Ravens will join us.
Hey.
And in terms of that poll question, I imagine they're going to try and get the answer out of the San Francisco 49ers a half an hour after this show is over. John Lynch is going to meet with the media as part of their annual pre-draft chatter. And apparently just added to that mix was Kyle Shanahan.
No, hey.
He's going to join him too. Oh, baby.
Wow.
So we'll have lots to talk about when we come on the air on Tuesday's draft week edition of the Rich Eisen Show right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, Odyssey, Sirius XM, and this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate, terrestrially. Back on Peacock in a second.